Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message. See you at church.
So welcome to church, the first Sunday of 2021. So before we get into what God's put on my heart to share this morning, I just want to pray. The older I get, the more I notice that God and the journey of Christian faith is about us aligning ourselves with God. We want to be like Jesus, we want to walk like Jesus, and in us is our spiritual part. And it's really useful to do a little bit of study on this if you ever get a chance, because it just answers so many questions for me, like how someone can be so flesh-like, worldly in their walk, but then they have a spiritual encounter with God and it transforms their life. Or how as people there's a deep and yearning in everyone, no matter what their background is, and it's all the same. You see glimpses of this spiritual part of people when a baby's born and there's this transformation or this overwhelming rush of emotion that isn't logical or even normal. I mean, scientists still can't really explain a lot of things about the body, but we can see glimpses of the spirit there. And when we pray and when we come to church and we shut our eyes and we submit our flesh, we're putting the flesh back where it belongs. But it's hard in our time because we are so flesh-driven. Like we can do whatever we want to be comfortable. We can put on an air conditioner or get a jumper on if we're cold or hot. We can eat if we're hungry. You know, all of those things. That's our society we live in. So the flesh is always being glorified in a way, isn't it? Like it's the most important thing. You know, we wear shoes so we don't get cuts in our feet. We can go into the shade if it's hot. Things like that. Our flesh dominates how we think. And so if you do ever get some time to study the spirit, it's really fascinating. And prayer is about aligning ourselves with God in the way that I'm shutting my eyes so that I can't see what's happening around me. I can't get distracted. I'm going to try and really just think about Him and to allow Him to call up my spirit so that we can connect. And that's what prayer is. It's not about always about feeling like praying or about praying the right thing, because God will tell us what to pray for when we are connected with Him. But it's just about quietening ourselves. So I just want to pray for us that as a community and as a church that we all do that this morning, that we can just ground ourselves, be still, and to hear His voice. So Father, I just pray for my church, for all of the people here today, and for all of the people watching online, that we can just quiet our thoughts and our concerns and our desires, and to not think about what we're having for lunch or what we need to do next when we get home, but that we are just here now with You. And Father, I just pray that as we are here now with You, that Your Spirit draws out our spirits and that we can connect with You and You can transform us in ways that aren't explainable. And Father, this is what I want for my church and this is what I want for me and my family. So Lord, as I stand before You as a broken vessel, that You do the same with me and that You meet us here and that You speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so school holidays. And so I've got some things in the sermon today that I think that your kids will like. So make sure that you've got your listening ears on. But adults, this message is also for all of us. So don't tune out. It's for everybody, as God can only do in the Bible. So this sermon today is about someone very important in the Bible. And his name is Jacob. Does anyone know Jacob from the Bible? Any kids know Jacob from the Bible? And there's something special about Jacob. Yeah, there was something special about him in that he had two names. Does anyone know what Jacob's name turned into? Does anyone know? Yes, Gary? Israel.
Jacob's name was turned into Israel, and we're going to look at how that transformation happened this morning. He's actually one of, well, there's a few people in the Bible that God renamed. Jacob means the heel catcher, so that will make sense when we look at his background story. And Israel means sees God, so there's some clues for you about what happens to Jacob. So the story begins once upon a time with Jacob's parents, Isaac and Rebekah. Who knows who Isaac was? There's an altar and a sheep or a ram caught in the bushes. Anyone know who Isaac is? Yes, Samuel? Kind of. His father was Abraham. So Jacob is Abraham's grandson. Isaac was going to be sacrificed. Do you remember that story? He was going to be put on the altar, but then God said, stop, Abraham. You use this ram that I've caught in the thorns instead. So Abraham is Jacob's papa. And Rebekah is Jacob's mum. And this story begins in Genesis. So before we get into the transformation part of Jacob, I just want to play a video clip from YouTube. So if you're watching online, there's a link to the video in the comments. So just click on that and watch it and come back with us when we're done. So yes, if we could play that video, please. So that's the story of Jacob up to where we're going to talk about him. Do you know the story now? Does that ring a bell? Okay, so we in the background story, we know that Jacob tricked his famished brother of his birthright. So before we get too much, is this going to work for me? Okay, so before we get into it, famished and birthright are very interesting words. So famished means really, really, really hungry. So that's what Esau was. He was in extreme hunger. And birthright is something we don't really have anymore. And this is why it was so made Esau so angry when he realized what he had done. A birthright is the privilege that the eldest son got in the family back in those days. So Bible scholars say that great respect was paid to the one with the birthright, and the family widened their tribe, and he got the sustained authority and had respect in all matters of interest, which meant every single decision the family had to make would be on the person with the birthright. So now, instead of Esau having that privilege, it was Jacob. And as the video said, the person with the birthright would be in charge of the faith of the family. They'd be in the priesthood. They would have a double portion of the property, so they'd get more than the other son. And he would actually also have the charge of the father. So that is how important it was and why Esau was so upset when he realized what he had done. Could I get the next slide, please? So Jacob was a lot of things, but he definitely wasn't honest, was he? In fact, he was a little bit of a prankster. He played tricks, and if you watched carefully in the video, he was a little bit like his mum. And he was also like somebody else that we'll talk about in a minute. But these are the kind of things I think Jacob would like if he was around now. All of these kind of funny things that you can do to prank and play tricks, because he played the ultimate trick on his brother. And a few fun facts about Jacob. Jacob was actually 77 when he fled from his home to going to Haran. And he went to Haran, the video doesn't say, but he went to his uncle, which was his mum's brother in Haran. His name was Laban. And that distance was 643 kilometres away, which is almost from here to Melbourne. So I don't know if he rode on anything. The Bible doesn't say if he had a camel or a horse or a donkey or something, or if he just ran. But 643 kilometres is a very, very, very long way. So think about Jacob for a moment, okay? At this point in the story, he lost his mum, he lost his dad, and he lost his brother, and he was going on a very, very, very long journey that was probably quite hard to do. And the Bible actually says that he never, ever saw Rebecca again. He never saw his mum again. Next slide. Oops, back a slide. So he would have been really, really upset. So how do you think he would have felt, guys? Call out to me. Sad. He would have been really sad. And in fact, I think a lot of us would have some idea of how Jacob would have felt, because we in our lives probably would have felt this sometimes as well. So on his way to Haran, so in that long, long journey to his uncle's house, he went to sleep and he had a dream. And you might know this dream. This is the dream of the ladder to heaven, where he saw a ladder from heaven and he saw angels coming up and going down. That's in Genesis 28. And this is where we see Jacob and God's very first meeting. And when God introduces himself and he says some promises to Jacob, he says that Jacob will do a lot of wonderful, wonderful things. So I'll just, next slide please. So we'll just quickly read about this first encounter Jacob had with God. So Jacob dreamed that there was a ladder placed on the earth and on top of it towards heaven, and he saw angels of God ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above and around him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father's father, or your papa, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your descendants the land of promise on which you are lying. Your descendants shall be as countless as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread across abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south, and all the families, nations of the earth shall be blessed through you and your descendants. So Jacob was going to be the starting point of nations of people. Behold, I am with you and will keep careful watch over you and guard you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this promised land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, without any doubt, the Lord is in this place and I did not realize it. So we see Jacob say, oh, God is real. So he was afraid and said, how fearful and awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. So Jacob stayed with his uncle for 20 years and he became rich. Can I have the next slide, please? Okay. And Jacob he was actually pranked himself. His uncle Laban was a prankster too. Does anyone know what his uncle did to Jacob? Does anybody know? Adults? Yeah? Yes. So he worked for 7 years for his uncle. His uncle said, you can have one of my daughters, Rachel. You can marry her. But after he'd worked for 7 years, Laban gave him another of his daughters called Leah instead. So Jacob had to work another 7 years to get Rachel. That's in Genesis 29. So have you ever played a trick on someone or a prank or something? You've done something that's probably not very nice and then someone's done it back to you. How does that make you feel? Pardon? How does it make you feel? Do you feel good about it? No, you feel yucky. You realise probably what you've done. And so Jacob got a taste of his very own medicine when he was pranked by his uncle. So he ended up working another 7 years for his uncle, married Rachel. So he had two wives, Leah and Rachel. And then he returned to Canaan. And God actually told him to go back. And on his way, he had another encounter with God. And this is where I want to focus today. So Jacob was on his way home and he got word that Esau was on his way to meet him. Next slide, please. How do you think he would have felt again? Sad. And his big brother was coming to meet him, the brother he took his everything from. How else do you think he felt? Scared. He would have been very, very frightened. And in fact, the Bible tells us that he was very, very frightened. So just to recap, he took Esau's birthright. He lost his mum, dad and brother. He worked hard for his uncle and was tricked by him. And he was making the journey home, which he didn't know how it will go, and he was worried about the lives of his stock and family. So by this time, I think he was almost pretty much at the end of himself. I think Jacob would have been absolutely petrified. Now, remember, he had this encounter with God where he saw the stairway to heaven and God spoke promises over him. So he had that to hold on to, and I believe that's what he was doing. But the Bible shows us how scared Jacob was. Let's read about it. The next slide, please. And then Jacob prayed, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, God who told me, go back to your parents' homeland and I'll treat you well. I don't deserve all the love and loyalty you've shown me. He realizes what he did. When I left here and crossed the Jordan, I only had the clothes on my back. And now look at me, two camps. Save me, please, from the violence of my brother, my angry brother. I'm afraid he'll come back and attack all of us, me, the mothers and the children. You yourself said, I will treat you well. I'll make your descendants like the sands of the sea, far too many to count. So we can see him crying out to God. And actually, he had 11 kids at this point. So he was scared for his wives and his children. And the Bible also talks about the fact that he heard that Esau was coming. And that night, in the middle of the night, he got his wives and his kids and all of the animals and sent them ahead so that he could try and keep them safe. But if you've been up at night worrying about something, that's when you probably make the worst decision. So we can see that Jacob was really, really anxious to be up at night. But then God appears again to Jacob. And this is where the big transformation occurs. So let's read about it and then we'll talk about it. So next slide, please. Genesis 32. Now that's a picture I wanted to show you so that you could look at it while I read to you. So Jacob, remember, was really anxious. He was left alone because everyone else went ahead of him so that he could try and save them. And a man came and wrestled him and with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob, he touched his hip joint and Jacob's hip was dislocated as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing on me. So he asked him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he, the angel, said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it you ask my name? And he declared a blessing of the covenant promises on Jacob there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, which means the face of God, saying, I have seen the face of God, yet my life has not been snatched away. Now the sun rose on him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh by the tendon of the hip. So that's in Genesis 32. So here we see Jacob, the prankster, absolutely transformed. What does Jacob's name change into? Israel. Here we see the beginning of a real relationship with God. So, what is so fascinating about this story is the fact that he wrestled with God. Now, kids, have you ever been in Big W and you want the Beyblade Hypersphere Stadium and you tackle mum or dad to the ground? And you say, I'm not going to let you get up until you buy me this Beyblade Stadium. No. What would happen if you did that? Security would take you out. You'd be in big, big trouble. You might want the latest Barbie dream house. But you don't wrestle your mum and dad until they buy it for you. But it worked for Jacob. Now, this has always interested me. How come it worked for Jacob? How come God, in all of his power, just throw Jacob off of him or blind him or something like that and just get him off? It has always been a mystery to me. But it, just like if you get a pebble stuck in your shoe, it's been niggling me in the back of my mind for a long, long time. And the Holy Spirit, as I've gotten older, has just dropped things into my heart to explain this story to me. So remember, this story happens before Jesus, before the Holy Spirit, before the apostles started spreading the good news of the gospel, before most of the Old Testament was even written, because this story actually happened before Moses, because Jacob is the son to Joseph, and then Joseph's descendants is then Moses. So this was even before Moses, and before Moses wrote a lot of things about God. So Jacob knew very, very little of God. We can see that he prayed to God, but yet he still wrestled with him. Now, this is significant. And why do you think Jacob didn't get into trouble? Does anyone have any ideas? Any ideas? Nevaeh? Because he was what? He was a bad guy. Well, he was a prankster, just like a lot of us are pranksters. But the reason that I think Jacob didn't get in trouble with God for wrestling with him is that God was not offended with Jacob wrestling him. Now, that seems pretty simple, but let's unpack that a little bit more. We can take from the Bible that Jacob's blessing coming from God with that in that wrestling and through his perseverance shows us that God favours our wrestling with him. And why is that? Now, think about Jacob's life until this point. Jacob has had some problems, he's had some issues, he's lost his mum, his dad, his brother, he's gone a long journey, he's been tricked. And every single time that's happened, he hasn't looked to God to help him, has he? He's just kept working. He worked more to get the wife he wanted. He ran away when things didn't happen with his brother. So he looked to himself to that point to help himself out of all of his bad situations. But in this instance, he persevered with God. He engaged with God. He wrestled with God. And in that moment, he stopped looking within himself for the answers and he looked in the right direction for answers. He looked at God. He engaged with God. He was engaged with the source, and in that he was transformed. And God then became his source and not just that of his grandfather Abraham. And if you look in the Bible, after he wrestles with God, he then talks about God as the God of his God instead of the God of his father or his grandfather. So we can see that transformation there where God becomes his. God becomes his source and his way of dealing with his problems instead of just looking at himself. Now, Jacob's not the only person to have experienced this in the Bible. The Bible is full of evidence of transformations. So if you can get the next slide. So I've just got two here. Job said, I had heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eyes see you. And Moses was transformed when he saw God. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face was shining because he had been speaking with God. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face shone and they were afraid to approach him. The Bible is full of evidence of transformation when God becomes yours, when it stops becoming a story you heard or the God of your parents or grandparents or the God of your friends, but your God. So next slide, please. The Bible talks about this in 2 Corinthians 2. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And in Jeremiah as well there. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's also another aspect to this that is pretty amazing. Is in the way that Jacob was persevering. Who knows? Can someone tell me what persevering means? What does persevering mean? Any ideas? Pardon? To keep on going. The Bible verse says that God touched his hip, but did he stop?
No. Did it hurt Jacob? Yes, because he was limping afterwards. He didn't stop. Now, when Jacob decided to continue persevering with God in that engagement, in that wrestling, Jacob kept his flesh where it belonged. He kept it below his spiritual life. He had that transformation moment with God and he sought that to the detriment of his body. And then also God didn't change Jacob without engagement. God could have snapped his fingers and Jacob could have been completely changed from a prankster to the father of nations, but he didn't. God wrestled with him. So we can really, really be encouraged by that. As a little girl reading the story of Jacob and him wrestling with God, it, as I said, always mystified me as to why he wasn't struck dead. Because we, in the Old Testament, in these days, when people did see God and they were unclean, they were struck dead. They just would fall to the ground. That was the nature of God at that time, before he was revealed through Jesus and before the greatest sacrifice was given for us so we could have connection with him. That's what happened. Yet God did not do that with Jacob. And as I said, it's mystified me, but it is so encouraging to read about that and to know that it is in the wrestling, it is in the not stopping looking at what is we have the answers for, but looking in him, that we get that transformation. God will bless us when we engage with him, even if it's not pretty, even if it's with anger and tears and doubt and uncertainty. But looking in that direction is transformative. There's been, lately especially, there's been a lot of people, high-profile Christian people, who have actually questioned God in a very high-profile way. There's lead singer of Hawk Nelson, who has stepped away from his faith, but his Instagram account is really about an exploration of God. It's coming from a place of, I don't know if God's real, because I don't know if what I've always believed is what I believe anymore. And my first reaction, and a lot of other people's first reactions to that, is that of judgment. That, oh my gosh, like how could you sing about him so passionately for so many years and all of a sudden think that there's nothing there, that you're doubting or you're uncertain? But do you know, he is looking in that direction. He is working out his faith. And I don't know where his heart is at, so I can't make that judgment. But I really believe that it is that is kind of like a Jacob wrestling scenario. To the outside, to people who aren't in that situation, it might really look like you're not doing the right thing. You're not walking in the walk. Because sometimes when we are wrestling with God, it is ugly. It's not pretty. We get hurt. There might be, as I said, anger and tears and past stuff starts coming up and it's not always great. And it might look not very pleasant, but that is okay. Because if we are looking in the right direction in wrestling with God, looking for him, to him for answers instead of in ourselves, that is where the transformation happens. And that is, I can say that with confidence because it happened in the Bible and it happens today. So actually after this, if we revisit Jacob, after he wrestled with God, he actually moved to Bethel, and it was after he wrestled with God that God asked him to get rid of all of his other idols and things that they worshipped and to create an altar to worship God. That's in Genesis 35. And then Jacob became the father to Joseph with the multicolored coat, that was his son. And then Joseph, we can see evidence of Joseph's perseverance in his own story when he goes into Egypt and he continues to look to God when terrible things came his way. So in Genesis 48:15, we can see when Jacob is dying, he's come to the end of his life. This is what he says. Okay. May the God perform whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. So parents, don't underestimate the importance of your engagement with God, because it will affect your children. So you might find yourself in a very similar point to Jacob right now.
you might find yourself in varying parts of the story. You might be the prankster at the moment. I know a few pranksters here. You might be in the part of the story when you've lost everything. You've lost your dad, your mum, your brother, and you've had to travel a long way in the wilderness. You might be reminding God of what he has spoken over you, or you might be really, really afraid of what he's asking you to do. Or you might be in the wrestling right now and engaging with God as you work at your faith and in making him yours. But the beauty of this story is that every stage of Jacob's life is just a stage that it moves on, and the destination of transformation is where you will end up. So I just wanted to really encourage you with this story of Jacob, that transformation happens. And if we're looking in the direction of God instead of ourselves, that transformation will occur. And our names will be changed, and who we are will be changed, and then generations and generations will be affected. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning. I hope that that has encouraged you. So Father, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for the story of Jacob and how encouraging it is to know that when we are engaging with you and wrestling with you, that even if it looks bad, if it looks hard, if it hurts us, Lord, that there is transformation on the other end. Father, we thank you that your Bible is alive and it's a word that will speak over us today, just as it has for many, many years. And we thank you that it's true and correct. And we thank you for speaking to us through it today. Lord, I pray for all of us this morning that we will go away changed, that your Holy Spirit will continue to connect with us, Lord, and to speak to our spirits and keep enticing us into deeper and deeper relationship with you. I pray for everybody here this morning that their week is blessed and that their week is led by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.